I'm MJ.
A special collection of episodes, I will say.
The start of a special collection of episodes.
So as we've been teasing for the past few weeks, this year we are going to do two capsules, is what I'm going to call them.
Sure, unless we come up with a better name halfway through.
Yeah, we're going. Time capsules. We're going back in time to when the WB, or what was
WB CW
for this capsule. We're gonna have two this year, but for this capsule, as we said, this capsule is really based on one of my favorite TV shows of all time. Our second capsule is gonna be based on one of MJ's favorite TV shows, and the catch here is that he's never seen this show, and I've never seen the other show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're calling them, like, you know, little capsules. They're contained. They're gonna be bi-weekly.
Yes,
alternating around our new episodes.
Yes,
correct. But we've been wanting to do this for a while, mostly because, like, there's just, we review these new TV shows, but there's so much stuff out there that's old that, like, either we haven't seen or you haven't seen or I haven't seen that could be really, really cool to kind of, like, look at and go over with a fine-tooth comb, you know?
Well, and also because these shows are so, not integral, but, like so personal to us a little bit, like, we talk about them in our episode.
Yeah.
I feel like it's nice to share and get these, like, kind of get more background and fill out why we reference some of these things in our show.
Yeah. Like, we tried it in different formats. Like, we tried a couple years ago, we did Hot Off the Binge, which we tried, where we tried to pick an old show and kind of watch it and kind of do that. But this one, we were like, you know what? We really want to dig deep into these shows.
Yes.
So we decided to really kind of, like, pull it out and say, hey, we're going to do this and not make a baby. We do not have a plan B.
Wow.
Did you know they stopped Olivia Rodrigo from handing that out in her concerts?
No, I didn't know she was going to.
She was handing it out at her concerts.
Really?
Like, I think it was, like, for something for, like, with Planned Parenthood or something, but she was, like, handing out, like, Plan B and something else to people in the audience, which is fine, and now they're, like...
Condoms?
People are like, no, you can't do that. And it's like, okay, great. So, we're not going to get political, though.
Fair enough.
So, our first capsule...
Yes.
...is going to be over... I say this is one of my favorite TV shows, but I would have to say it's probably number one. Like, there's no way it's not number one.
I feel like this is, to quote How I Met Your Mother, this is the show you watch when you're feeling bad, when you're sick. This is, like, what you go to just have, like, a I need to clear my mind kind of day.
Girl, I'll watch this show eating ice cream. I'll watch it on a boat. I will watch it in a tote. I will watch it. Dr. Seuss. But yeah, so our first capsule is going to be season one of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Because I, like you said, I've never seen this. I have randomly seen some episodes on air, but they're later seasons.
Right.
The one, I don't know why, it's always the one on, and I always catch it, is the one where their voices get taken away.
Hush?
Yes.
I think it was one of the, I think it was probably for me. This Hush was season four, episode 8 or 9, maybe. And it was not 8 or 9. It to me was probably one of the most different.
I think it was like season four.
It was season four. I said episode 8 or 9. No.
Oh, yes.
And I think it stands out a lot because it was a really good episode, but season four to me was probably one of the lower seasons in my opinion.
But it was one of those ones where, like, I remembered the ghoul. Like, it was very
It was very glaring.
Yeah.
That episode was actually very cool. Like, Buffy did a couple of, like, did some really cool, like, they did that one. They did the musical episode that was actually really good, too. So, yeah, that one is one of the freakier ones.
It stood out. And there are some
freaky episodes in this show. And that one does stand out as one of those. So, first, we're going to touch briefly, because on the movie that was also, I want to say, directed by Joss Whedon.
So give me a little background
who we all know is problematic, so I'm acknowledging that now.
So give me, and this is where I didn't watch this. I might watch a little bit of the movie or watch the movie before the next review or the next two episodes.
Yeah.
I didn't think it had Sarah Michelle Gellar in it.
It did not.
So I didn't believe it was part of or told a story that was anyway associated with the show.
I think it's kind of trying to be a little bit. So basically in the movie that starred Christy Swanson, Luke Perry, and a very young Hilary Swank, a very young Dan Arquette.
Yes.
David Arquette. I'm sorry. David Arquette.
Sorry. Okay.
Not Kiefer, but his dad, Donald Sutherland, as her watcher. His name was Meryl. And she was Buffy. Luke Perry played Pike. I forgot who David Arquette played. But whatever, basically, she is like a super, like, quintessential Valley girl. early 90s, you know, she's in LA, she's a cheerleader, she's popular, and all this, and then she finds out, oh wait, I am a slayer. She gets trained. There is a kind of Dracula type slash master kind of vampire there. She slays him in the gym, and it's like these vampires try to take over like the school dance, the prom or whatever.
God.
And oh, Paul Rubens is in it.
No,
as like a vampire, he's giving comedy. He's actually one of my favorite parts of the movie. To be fair, it's a shit movie, but
I mean, it doesn't sound great,
right? So the whole showdown happens in the gym where they're killing vampires, and you know all this bullshit. So this kind of like, and then she kind of leaves. Now I think they kind of don't. It's not really flowing into the show because I believe in the movie she's a senior, and when we get to the show she's a sophomore.
Yes.
But when we get to the show, we'll discuss how I think that kind of how I think they're trying to take pieces from that.
Well, they reference a strong right. aspect of
right.
the movie.
Right. So first,
yes,
we could just name the top five. I say the core. There's a core four, but there's also to me it's really a core five.
Well, okay, and since the fifth one, I think I know who you're going to talk about isn't. Involved yet in the first two episodes that I've watched.
They are a series regular. They are in the opening.
Yes, they are more prominent than others. But yes, I'll go through. So the first one, obviously Buffy Summers, who is played by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, we know.
Jeremy's amazing.
If
icon,
I ever met her, mother. I think I would literally die.
You'd cry.
I would I might cry.
You would actually. Cry.
I think I would. I think there's something I think it's just because she seems so, like, normal, maybe.
I would love to meet her husband.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze would be weird. They just seem so normal. Like, they just seem so, like...
Down to earth.
Yeah, yeah, like...
Approachable.
I would be so... I don't know. I could approach. I could not approach. But, yes, I love her. Next, we have Nicholas Brendon, who plays Xander Harris.
Yes, I was like, I'm gonna see if you know their last names too.
Do you think I don't know these last names? You think I know it's Buffy Summers? You think I don't know it's Xander Harris? You gotta know it's Willow Rosenberg, played by Allison Hannigan of him fame,
and American Pie fame.
Yes, you think that I don't know that Rupert Giles is played by? Damn it! Now that we're doing this, I can't fucking Anthony Stewart Head.
Oh, who, Stewart wasn't it. It was just Anthony Head.
Who was also recently in Ted Lasso.
Rupert.
He was recently in Ted Lasso. Yeah. I think he played Rupert as well in that, too. No, he wasn't.
But, yeah, no, yeah. He was the one who played the owner of...
Right, was his name Rupert?
I think so.
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. And then our fifth character is Charisma Carpenter, who plays Cordelia Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, Charisma Carpenter actually auditioned for the role of Buffy. And if I'm correct, I believe that there's one more character, and I believe that they created Cordelia for her specifically, if I remember correctly. And then our sixth character is going to be the gorgeous David Boreanaz as Angel.
So two takeaways looking at the cast real quick that I didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. A, Cordelia's in less episodes than Angel. She's in 57 total out of 145.
No, because she leaves the show. She leaves the show after season three.
Well, yeah, but let's say so the fact she's a top five in the first season.
But if we're looking, would you say 50 what?
She's in 57 total episodes of Buffy.
44 plus 12. That's every episode.
She's in every episode of like season one for sure.
Right, but there's 22 episodes in season two.
Oh, okay. 22 so she's in every three, for all three seasons.
12 in season one.
Gotcha.
And she might come. She might show up in an episode at some point.
Where and you mentioned Angel. He's only in 58 episodes total.
So he's in every episode of season one, two, and three probably. And then he actually comes. There's some episodes where he does crossovers and comes back in certain episodes as well.
My other takeaway here is we were talking about Sutherland for.
Yes, Christine Sutherland, who plays Joyce Summers.
Yeah, is she?
I don't know if she's related.
Okay.
I don't know. And Joyce Summers is Buffy's mom.
Well, top five. Here's seven people.
Like, it's hard to like. It's hard because it's hard to not. I think those are like the seven. Like it really like Joyce is in every episode.
No,
but she's Joyce, and we love Joyce.
But I will say, like the ones that were obviously the most proud. The mom Joyce was not in a lot of episode one or two. There was like a quick Buffy get up.
Yeah,
Buffy,
yeah.
You going out? Have fun. Like that was the most she was in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cordelia, Willow, Xander, Giles, and Buffy, those five, definitely the show revolves around them. Not so much Cordelia in the first two.
Well, the yes.
She's correct. Kind of like the antagonist to everybody.
Yeah. So yeah, we know that. So now we've got to the characters.
Yeah.
And we're gonna walk through this, guys, because first of all, yeah, this premiered in 1997. There are no spoilers.
I was gonna say, and you were just super excited to talk about this with me because we've never had this like opportunity to go into it.
It's one of those things. It's like
I'm gonna drive that home today.
Like I don't have any children, so I'm like I have to share this with you. This is the thing that gets me excited. This is my child.
And guys of gray hair.
That never grows up, that's always wearing short skirts and thigh-high boots.
Can I say, when you say 97, this show is very 90s.
The skirts are so short.
I'm going to say this.
Willow's skirt was short.
I'm not trying to like rush here, and I'm just going to say this because I'll forget to say it later. At the end of episode two, when they're all just kind of like, and back to normal life, Buffy's in like all purple, and I'm like, oh, it's a call out to her Daphne later on. Oh, it looks just like it.
Yeah. the first episode, so we're going to do two episodes, you guys.
Yes.
And first episode one is called Welcome to the Hellmouth, and the second episode is called The Harvest.
Yes.
So, The Hellmouth. Yes, let's dive right in. First comment to me was
I was not prepared. It wasn't like harsh or anything, but every episode
so far, as soon as you press play,
it literally doesn't start with like an opener. It doesn't start with going straight to Buffy. It goes to this cut of this like guy's voice. Every generation, there's a girl. I'm like, oh my God, what did I just turn on? I mean, it goes right into it.
I would like to say, I think it's bad for me to not know all the words to this. But it's really only in most of season one, but it's like into every generation, in every generation, a girl is born. She alone will have the power, the something, to slay I'm really fucking good at
it. Because they talk about vampires, like they talk about more than vampires in it too. But no, like I was not expecting this just harsh. And I say it doesn't have an intro, but like this is the intro for them. But it always has this little explanation of what the show is about before jumping into what is the problem this week, or here's what Buffy's currently doing.
It's in every generation. In every generation, there is a chosen one. She alone will stand alone, or she alone will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. She is the slayer. And it's like, you know, there's like little, like, it's like a montage.
Of
creepy shit.
The book of a graveyard, a stake. Like, it's just.
And then it ends and it ends with her with the crossbow.
But again, all of this before it even starts an episode. And then there's still an opening theme song.
Dude, that opener, can you talk about how hard that opening goes, though? That shit is, I mean, think about that. Like, it is a very good open. Like, it is so good. I wonder if I can play it, if people can hear it.
I mean, I don't think, we're not currently monetized, so I don't think it's going to hurt us, but I wonder if we'll get flagged if you play too much of it.
Yeah, well it's like 30 seconds. Hold on, we're going
to. Like, the opening note, like, chord is just iconic.
We're going to look. Hold on.
Well, while you're doing that, so.
Oh, wait. It's here. By the way, the first episode aired March 10th, 1997.
It's so long
ago. Look at that.
This is longer than 30 seconds.
You guys, look at this. Like guitar riffs and shit. Like it's so fucking.
It's iconic. Like if I hear that, I know it's Buffy. Even having never watched the show.
And it's like the little like starts off and it's like. Like it's really good.
Were you jerking off of guitar?
Yes. I don't know how to play guitar. So how does episode one
start? Yes. After the aggressive introduction of what Buffy and the Slayer is.
And the rock and roll credits.
Well, no, that's after. There's like a pre-scene, the opener, and then the episode starts. So we start cut into dark. Obviously, looks like a classroom window. See a hand come smash the window.
Right.
And then a girl and a guy sneak into the school, which I'm assuming is Sunnydale.
It is Sunnydale. Yes, it is.
Which we find out that's the name of the school later.
Right.
And the guys.
Which the college later in season four is called UC Sunnydale.
No.
And like University of California Sunnydale. And it's funny because if I remember correctly, in season four, they have a t-shirt and it says UC and it's like Sunny D, if I'm correct. Or it might just be UC, a picture of a sun and then a D, and I've just called it UC Sunny D. I don't know.
That's funny.
Go ahead.
But then guy and girl are being, or guys is
breaking into the school.
Breaking to school, trying to impress the girl. Because
you do that.
Exactly. At the young age of like, because apparently Buffy's supposed to be 16.
15, she's a sophomore, so 15 maybe. 16.
15, 16.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like at the young age of a high schooler, which these people look 27, I'm not even going to go into that.
Hey, that was the WB. That's how they did it back then.
But yeah, so the guy's directing this girl through the school, like, oh, we need to go to the top of the gym. You can see
the whole school. Or you can see the whole city.
Yes, the whole town.
Yeah, it's not a city. It is a town. They say it about 60 times. And even Cordelia makes mention later, she's like, we don't have a lot of town here. Like, yeah. So it's a town.
But no, so like, you're going through and you, if you know, because again, they go off like, she's going to fight the vampires. You go into the first scene. This is kind of how I first assumed was, oh, the guy's the vampire. He's dragged the girl here, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I will say the one thing that kind of stuck in the back of my mind was from another one of my favorite shows was Big Bang Theory, where Leonard one episode was trying to get Penny to get into Buffy because he's like, oh my God, it's a perfect show that we can watch together. You're a cheerleader and it's still kind of a nerdy show. Like, was trying to get this, but she showed it to one of her friends later. Was like, do you get why he likes this so much? And the friend she showed it to was like, you do realize that this is like the flip of how most horror movies are. Like, most often the girl is running from the vampire, but the pretty girl here is the strong one who's killing them. And I was like, oh, it's going to be her that's the vampire in this first scene, because that popped in my head. And that's when Cordelia got the most obnoxious makeup. I don't know how they decided to make
it. Oh, not Cordelia. You're sorry. Sorry. We learn later.
Oh, not Cordelia. Yes. No,
so we don't know this vampire's name. We,
the blonde girl, yes.
Yes, who is played by Julie Benz.
Yes.
Who,
from Dexter fame.
In any community who knows Dexter, she played Dexter's first girlfriend, who was, and it's not a spoiler, get over it, who was killed by the Trinity Killer and left in, you know, the tub or whatever. But she, you know, while they're in the school, she's like, did you hear something? He's like, no, whatever, let's go, you know, because he's a douchebag. And she's like, sure, good. And then she flips around. And you automatically see her face.
The camera flips back to her, yeah.
Well, yeah, and you see her, like, turn around very quickly, and then you see her face was changed. Like, there's the really, really hardcore face makeup that makes her look more demonic. There's the teeth.
Well, everybody gets in, and I don't remember.
How did you feel about that reveal?
So, once I was, like, I thought about what I talked about from Big Bang, like, right before it happened. Getting confirmed that that's what was going to happen, I was like, okay, that's clever. I like that they're doing that.
Flipping the roles, yeah.
If we're going to get into this conversation, the shows, though, I don't remember later episodes the vampires being so gray-toned.
I believe the makeup gets better as the show gets on.
Okay, because this looks like... Because
you have to think this is WB.
I understand.
I don't know what their budget was.
But still, you turn, and yes, they're supposed to like have their face be... Not deformed, but different.
It's a little deformed, like, I would say. They like, to me, it's like if you took the full face of a wolf, where it's like furrowed eyebrows and you know,
like very heavy, like muscular.
Yes, yes, yes. To me, it looks like the face of a wolf in a way, with the fangs and the ripples in the face and everything like that.
But she turns out, but it was like you look like a gargoyle with how gray, like you look stone like.
Yes, yes, I will agree. Yes, yes.
So, but that's what I was like. Oh, okay. The makeup's kind of
yeah.
But again,
the effect
of like, oh, clever on you for having the girl be the bad guy, overpowering the man, taking what she needs, blah blah blah. I really did enjoy that kind of reveal.
And then she basically bites him and kills him.
Basically, no, she does.
Yeah.
No, there's no basically. She does.
She bites him in the neck and sucks his blood, and he is D-E-D. Dead. And I think that's when we go into our opening.
Yes, that's where it goes into the...
Yeah. So then after that, we come up to another kind of visual montage, and we see, you know, Buffy kind of like in her glamour shots, you know, with the superimposed over her of all the stuff that she's dreaming about because she's flipping over a bed, like, you know, so she's dreaming about all this bullshit.
Which, the thing is...
Which are all shots from season one, basically.
Well, it literally just telegraphed season one. I was like, because part of it was that, and part of it was you're also reusing the scenes from the opener of, like, the vampire book of where Giles puts that down later. And I was like, she can see the future? Is this past experiences?
There's in the movie, they kind of allude to her having kind of like this sixth sense of being able to see, to be able to be like, there's vampires around. I can kind of feel it.
This is what Giles, and Giles referenced that at the club.
Right. And then in the movie as well, she has several dreams about, the big vampire and about like he's in her dreams and she kind of can, you know, understand what's going, like that's kind of how it works. And so in this one, she kind of has what they call prophecies in a way. She'll have prophetic dreams every now and then.
Okay. Yes. So she does have a slight future sense.
Yes.
Okay. So that makes more sense. Cause I was just trying to figure out like, is this a power? Cause I've never heard of the Slayer having like,
they don't dig so far into it, but she does have some prophecy, prophetic tendencies in a way. But this is where we know, like, you know, she wakes up and Buffy's mom comes in and she's like, or she's just like, Buffy, you ready for your first day of school kind of thing.
Pan two, all the boxes still packed because they're obviously in a new town.
Yes.
A new house.
Yes, exactly. So before she leaves, so she drives, you know, and it's like quintessential high school, like the music. The music is so like, it is so 90s rock band. It is so, yes, what?
The music, yes, it I is, understand what you're
doing. It is every school in every 90s show ever. Like, it's the same shot. It's the same. That school's also the same school they use in, I would have known. I've said it before.
Not another teen movie?
No, it's another show.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead.
But no, so you get in and you see Buffy... We'll actually cut to, is it Willow and then Xander?
Well, Buffy's in the car with her mom.
Yeah.
And her mom is, and she's like, have a great day at school, whatever. And she's like, hey, honey. And she goes, yeah. She goes, try not to get kicked out.
That's right.
And so then, that's our first kind of like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah. Then cut to Willow, who's like reading on the steps. And then cut to Buffy walking by and Xander getting distracted. And him on his like skateboard, like into the railing of the stairwell. And
looking
like
flipping. At Buffy.
Yeah. So instantly,
that school, it's actually called Torrance High School.
Okay.
It has been in She's All That.
Uh-huh.
Not Another Teen Movie, so you're right there. Beverly Hills 90210, Whatever It Takes, The Hot Chick.
Oh, The Hot, wow, okay.
So they've used that school in a lot of shit.
Interesting.
Xander,
obviously you get very quickly, she's cute, like, that he's got the hot spore.
Yeah, and he's also kind of like, you know, a normal kid. He's kind of like, meh.
He's like that middle ground dorky, but not like the nerd. Like
he's middle. He's mid.
But cut to that, and then finally the next person you see is Cordelia.
No, it's Willow.
Well, no, Willow was there, and then Xander flipped over Willow.
Right, and then we do see Willow next, because Willow sees Xander kind of, you know, falling around, and Willow's like, he's like, hey, help me with my homework. So you kind of know that automatically there's this bond there. So you're
they're setting up the friendship.
Right. There's a friendship there, and she's like, you know, you actually have to, you know, go into the library to get books, you know, and it's like, and you can see her as like, you're setting him up as this, you know, wannabe kind of cool guy, and you see Willow as kind of obviously like the nerd, you know, she's wearing like this weird green overall dress with these white tights, and like her hair was super straight, like she's very kind of like plain Jane.
She's very straight edge.
Plain Jane. For top four.
I understand what you're going with,
So
the next scene is Buffy in the principal's office.
Right. Because while they're walking, we also meet Jesse.
Oh,
played by Eric Balfour, and he's like,
Jesse.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, did we see
new girl,
blah, 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 blah. I heard you transfer, you know, because it's a whole story, because this is a small town. again.
Xander's are like, what do you know about her?
Right. So they've already established these three as like a core friendship group.
Yeah.
Jesse, Xander, and
Willow.
And Willow. So then, yeah.
Then Buffy gets introduced.
She's meeting Principal Flutie.
Which I didn't know how to say his last name.
It's Flutie.
Okay.
Principal Flutie.
But he walks in and he's looking at her transcript kind of everything. And finally he sits down and tears it up, trying to be the cool principal in my mind.
He's like, clean slate here. I don't care what you did.
Boom. We're just going to, you know, it doesn't even matter. And he looks down and goes, if you burnt down the gym, let me start taping this together to read properly.
Like, I love, like, the clever, like, that's a very clever, like, subtle moment that he's like, oh, well, shit, bitch. Like,
and this is where it starts referencing, because this is where you find, like, Buffy's from L.A. She burned down her old gym.
Right.
And this is where it really, I found it tied in more to what you talk about the movie.
Yeah, because in the movie, she didn't burn down the gym, but the big, like, showdown with all the vampires happened in the school gym.
Yeah,
they just didn't burn it down. I don't think they burned it down.
Well, I'll watch it and we'll kind of discuss next time. Yeah. But this is where, like I said, it ties into the movie that I haven't watched, which I didn't because I didn't think it tied in, but I guess it does a little. But Flutie's now kind of got her on his radar because he's like, oh, maybe we do need to be a little more strict with you and what we do.
Yeah. But he's still trying to be the cool. He's still kind of like, you know, let's try, he's not being like clean slate, but he's like, because obviously he taped her permanent record back up, but he's kind of like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt
now. That's the best way to go with it.
Yeah. And even she almost slips up and she's almost like, well, but you don't understand, the gym was full of asbestos, you know, so.
Like the undead, or but then cut to her finally getting out, first class, she doesn't have her textbooks. And this is the part that kind of, because I know Cordelia is supposed to be kind of the bitchy one, and then she just like instinctually leans over and lets her start reading her book.
Right.
When they're in class. And I'm like, how? Yeah. But she's not supposed to be nice.
But the thing is, Cordelia is, to me, I'm going to say the most popular girl in school.
Is what she definitely presents as.
As a sophomore, to me, she is like the popular girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's what everyone wants to be around. She is the Regina George. She has people following her around.
Yes.
What
she
says
probably has a burn book.
Yes. And I think what Cordelia is like, game recognized game.
Yeah.
Like, she's looking at her, she's like, this girl, she's new, she's pretty. She is obviously from L.A.
Well, I think she even says, like, I heard you're from. So I think she knows.
Right. So it's like, why would I not pick up the pretty girl from L.A. to be in my clique with me?
Yeah, I get that.
So that's Cordelia's, like, angle there.
Yeah, okay.
So is she being nice? Probably a little bit, but she's also doing it as a self-serving thing.
Which you didn't cut to them outside of class because class lasts 5 seconds on a WB show.
they're already in the... She's talking about the Black Death on day... Well, no, it's not day one.
Not for Buffy.
It's day one for Buffy.
Yes, but they're like, how did the Black Death blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. And then they start discussing and it's like... 5 seconds and class is over.
Nobody wants to stay in class. None of classes last more than 4 minutes, you guys.
But there's more time spent in the hallway than in class.
Yes.
But cut to Cordelia outside quizzing her to see how popular and cool she is.
Right, which is so weird that she was like, this is how it's dated, because she goes, your thoughts on James Spader? And she goes, he needs to call me. And I'm like, James Spader? Really?
I need to go back and see what he looked like in 97.
I was like, that's who we're saying? That was the hottie in the mid-90s? Okay, great. Good to know.
But so she passes, and then you find out quickly that Cordelia, like, I think she criticizes Willow, and she talks to Buffy and was like, you need to figure out who the losers are.
And one of the best, like, Cordelia, to me, in this show, is a one-line magnet. Because bitch, she said, oh, Willow, it's nice to see you see the softer side of Sears. And I'm like, girl, like, these birds, they and Cordelia, are so good. That was so
bad.
And you can see kind of Buffy's kind of like,
she's a bitch.
Yeah, so great. And then this is when she goes into the library.
Yes, this is where but Willow takes her to the library because, right?
No, she walks in herself.
Well, I thought Willow showed her where it was. Because I thought Willow was like, oh yeah, this new British whatever just got transferred. He used to run the British
museum. That's after. Because she walks into the library because she's like, I need to get my books.
Okay.
And then he's like, I know what you're looking for. And he puts down the vampire book we've seen 14 times.
Intro Giles. This is who we... Yes. Yes.
And she's like, no, that's not what I'm looking for. And he's like, oh, well, sorry.
I guess I didn't know who you were.
And then he goes back to the business and she runs out because obviously she recognizes this book.
Because she's trying to get away from the whole Slayer thing.
Right, right, exactly. We do, I don't remember when it happens, but she does run in, she runs into Xander actually out of, after running out of the library, and drops all of her shit. He helps her pick it all up.
And it's a stake.
And she's got a wooden stake in her back. And he's like, oh, great, here's your stake.
It's when she's leaving the principal's office to go to class the first time, because that one person in the hall hits her.
He does have, you know, he finds like her wooden stake or whatever. But later, I think, I guess it's after school, or maybe it's...
Cordelia invites her to the club while she's quizzing her on if she's cool or not.
And then she's like, but I'll also see you in gym, and, you know, you can tell me everything about your life.
But the club here, let's talk about the bronze.
No, but then so at school, we are in the gym, and we find our man from the first scene of the show stuffed in a locker dead.
Yes.
So now there's police on campus, and there's stuff like that happening. And while that's going on, Buffy's kind of outside talking to Willow, and Willow's like, you might not want to talk to me because, like, I'm not cool. And Buffy's like, fuck that, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And I can't be friends with you and Cordelia. And she's like, no, you can't. But this is when Buffy is introduced to the core three, Jesse, Willow, and Xander.
And this is where Xander then comes up and was like, hey, tell me about your past, blah, blah, blah. What's your type of guy? And, like, just tries to get it, ingratiate himself. Well, go on.
Yeah. And then this is when Cordelia kind of walks up, and Jesse is so heavy on the flirt with her, and she is like not fucking having it. She's like,
Jesse, no means no.
Right. And she's like, I hate to interrupt your downward mobility, but like Cordelia's so good.
She does have some good lines.
But Jim is canceled because of the dead guy in the locker. And this is when Buffy starts asking, like, were there marks? Was there this? Like, who was it? Like, what did they look like? And she's like, that's creepy.
I'm happy you brought this up, and I was waiting for this point, because this is where Buffy then sneaks over to the gym to see kind of what was going on, because the body has yet to be moved, even though it's like 2 hours later and class has been canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
The body is just still on the locker room.
Floor?
No, it's on the bench row seating. Mm. And she looks at the neck, and it's obviously like, because if you've seen the faces and the fangs for these vampires, they're rather large.
Yeah.
And there's like a chunk missing out of this guy's neck. Cut to her, Buffy, getting back to the library to Giles. And she's like, yeah, this guy had two small marks on his neck. And I'm like, girl.
Doesn't it make you go, ooh?
I was like, small?
Yeah.
His neck was missing.
Basically ripped out. But she has a big conversation with Giles of like, hey, I came here because I want you people to leave me alone. And he's like, there's only one. This is when he repeats the... You know, the beginning, and then she finishes the sentence like, I get that, but she's like, I really just want to be left alone. I left that town. She goes, it ruins my social. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be involved in this. So this is like her thing of like, I'm defying this. I'm not doing this. We're not having this conversation. And she kind of like runs, you know, away, and he kind of tells her, hey, you're on a hellmouth. I don't think you realize, like, you don't know this, but this is a hellmouth. This is where mystical demonic energy, like, happens. Like, you're not just gonna see vampires here. You're gonna see succubus. You're gonna see
all other the demons.
You're gonna see all the buys. Like, you know, like, and you Girl! Know all of that. And she's just like, look, I don't care. I just want to have a social life, and that's, I just want to not get kicked out of school. So leave me alone, basically, right?
Yeah.
But then we see after that, Xander was in, you're gonna learn the library is very big.
Well, I was going to say, how do they not know somebody was literally feet from them during this conversation?
In the library, they have, like, the main library.
Okay.
And then they have something called the stacks, which is in the very, very back part of the whole library.
Where all the kids have sex.
Where you really rarely ever see anybody, probably. But I guess it's, like, the very, very deep part. There's, like, another door in there. We don't really ever see the stacks very much, but they mention it quite a few times.
Okay, so we're assuming that's where Xander was.
Yes. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, where did he come from? And I'm like, the stacks, probably.
So that's where, so something I don't know yet. But so Xander comes out after hearing, oh, you're a slayer. There's vampire. There's like, so he starts hearing about these things.
So he knows what's going on. And she's supposed to keep a secret identity. But he hurls and he's like, what?
Okay.
Is this?
But he thinks they're crazy. He doesn't know. Right. He's heard, but doesn't believe.
Right. So then we can fast forward to
Buffy at the club.
On her way to the club, because she tells her mom, I'm going, blah, blah, blah. And then on the way to the club,
I just want to get to the club.
We see someone following Buffy.
Yeah.
And she kind of leads this person into like an alleyway. And she is doing her best high bar impression. Like, she is like on this bar.
We going to talk about some of these flips and cut to her landing like, that was me for sure. That wasn't a stunt double.
There are definitely some not great stunt double cuts in this. But they do a pretty good job. Because the stunt double does some really good choreography. But again,
I'm just thinking about the one in the second episode where she flips up onto the stage and then it like it's full body flip up to the stage. And then it like then you just see Sarah Michelle Gellar just like.
I think as the show goes on,
it was so bad. The first
I think it gets better. And I think she starts to do more.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, no, I'm not defending that I think that like that the stunt doubles are not hilariously. I don't want to say they're hilariously obvious, but they're not like seamless. It's not seamless.
Well, no, it's more the editing than anything on that. But cut to we find out this is Angel.
Yes. So
we don't know his name yet. But
he follows her, and then she does her little parallel high bar impression, and like kicks him down, and it's like, hey, dude, why are you following me? Whatever. And he's like, you know, I'm a friend, and you know, and he basically just like, you know, he's being flirty and cute and what have you. And he's like, I'm a friend. And she's
flirty
like,
and cute. He literally just goes, there's vampires, don't die.
Yeah, basically. Dropping dimes like that on the cute girls. He says, I'm a friend. And she's like, I don't think I need any more friends. So he's like, I didn't say I was yours. And I'm like, oh, he's flirting, girl. He's flirting. So yeah, so then we get to the bronze.
Finally.
Which is the club. The one club.
Okay. Everybody, come in closer. Come in closer.
Okay, I'm gonna wait.
This is the as Cordelia describes it, the only cool place in town, which is on the bad side of town, which is only a few steps away from the good side of town because the town's not very big. Right. We mentioned they talk about this a lot.
They love to say this just in town.
And it's not like they don't talk about that this is like a under 16 club, blah blah blah. This is the club for the town.
Yes.
And there's no cover.
On Thursdays whatever day.
But you every time they cut to it, the bitch is taking money at the front door. I'm not even going to go into that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Every single time.
Are you sure they're checking IDs?
He's checking IDs, but he's counting like stacks of money. He's like getting people to give him money. I'm like, there's no cover, but you paying.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that.
But so cut to this. And then cut to...
How cool is the club looking, though?
The club is kind of like... I would have gone to this if I was their age kind of thing.
And the music.
And... I'm getting there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
so you up. Go in, and it's a live band the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the band's name is, but, like, can we talk about, like, grunge punk kind of, like, it's 100% grunge. But you go in, and there's, like, the dance floor and the upper level, and then Buffy makes her way into the espresso bar.
Yes, there's an espresso bar in there.
Where Willow's hanging out, but Willow's got a clear plastic cup with Coke and cherries. Okay, maybe it's a cherry Coke, but girl, they are trying to imply that there is alcohol here heavily and that these kids are partaking in said drinks, but they're not saying they served minors. Like it's very like tongue-in-cheek because you're like, we're just trying to make these 16-year-olds look older. They already look 30.
Yeah. I think they're trying to give it a reason for it to be an all-inclusive club, maybe, too.
But yeah, so I'm like, then cut to, like, the pool table and, like, the random
because
guys.
You could also
like,
get pastries there, because I remember there are definite episodes where at the espresso bar, the coffee bar, like, they've had croissants and they've had food.
I'm so confused on what the Bronx
is. It is a town, so it is an everything bar. But just to, like, kind of cut off from that, there are, like, tons of bands, like, Cibo Motto, who I don't know, but Biff Naked made an appearance in Buffy at the Bronze. Michelle Branch, Amy Mann.
Okay,
so that stage kind of like they'll put like from what I remember like indie bands they would actually have on the show kind of singing in the background in certain times. Yeah. There were a lot of songs that I learned. I was like, oh, this song is really cool, or this artist is really cool from them. But then it was the 90s and you couldn't like just go find their fucking music like you could back then. But they would always have like an indie part until we meet Oz and Dingoes Ate My Baby. And I don't know who was doing their vocals, but they were probably on the stage all the time. That was the band name, season 3. You're welcome. Or season 2, actually.
But yes, this club.
I mean, the club itself.
It is one of those quintessential, and we find Giles there as well, who points us out, hunting ground for the vampires.
Yes, exactly.
Packed to the brim. They can blend in with the kids.
And it's dark.
Exactly.
In a club.
So we're going through all this, and Giles is talking, and this is where we talked about earlier, that Buffy should be able to
sense
and see past, like, kind of like the mist or the glamour, like, to bring it to current terms, of them hiding their vampire face.
Right.
So he's like, look through the crowd to sense about it.
Hone in.
And then she goes, there, that's one. And he goes, how did... Look at his outfit. He looks like he's from the 70s. He's got sleeves rolled up over his jacket.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, okay.
Deal with that outfit for a moment.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you didn't hone.
I know. He's like stuck. He's like, but you found a vampire.
Right. And this is a theme throughout the show of him being like, Buffy, you've got to be serious. And she's like, okay, whatever. And then she does the thing he wants her to do, like, in a split second. And he's like, okay, fine. Whatever. But yeah, so she sees that this person, this vampire, we're putting in quotes, is talking to Willow.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh shit, I've got to go find her and figure out what's going on. While she's doing this, we see that Jesse is talking to the blonde girl from the first scene, who we learn her name at this point is Darla.
Yes.
Doing her best Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time in the hallway impression with her Catholic school outfit.
What is with that cardigan?
That's the outfit she wears in every single episode, by the way. Everybody else's clothes change. Her clothes do not change. She is wearing that Catholic school outfit the whole time. Can vampires change clothes? Yes, they can. Do they? No.
Do they wash the ones they're wearing? They probably have them in triplicate.
I know. I want to know. But yes, so this is what we find out. Her name is Darla, and she's talking to Jesse.
Yeah, because Cordelia turned him down.
Right. So Buffy runs into, you know, Xander trying to say, you know, I need to find Willow right now. And, oh, no, no, no.
She goes in the back to try to find the vampire and ends up, like, choke holding, slamming Cordelia
with a stake. Lifts her up and has a stake. And Cordelia has another great one liner. Do you remember what it is?
I don't remember.
She goes, God, what is your childhood trauma? Like, she is so good. They are like, if we're going to nail one character in this episode, it's going to be Cordelia.
Cordelia brought it the first episode.
Yes. Like, Charisma Carpenter as Cordelia will never stop giving you life. I'm telling you. She will never stop. She is always doing it. It doesn't matter what episode she's in. It doesn't matter what the pitch is doing. That bitch gives it all the time.
But yeah, so then she, Buffy drops her. She kind of was like, oh, I'm gasping for my life. Did you...
And then she has a second good line where Buffy's like, sorry, she walks away, and Cordelia's crew comes out of the bathroom,
she's like,
excuse me, I have to call everyone I've ever met right now.
And she pulls out the flip phone. The chunky brick flip phone.
I love her. It's so great.
But cut to then, that's where now Buffy runs into Xander outside the club. Where's Willow? Right.
And she kind of explains. He's like, I wouldn't want you to have to slay him. And she's like, look, this is a joke. I need to find her right now.
But she's like, does everyone just know? Was there a bulletin board announcement?
Yeah, right.
And then Xander's like, what? So then Xander follows Buffy to a graveyard.
Correct.
Where we find Willow with, I don't ever catch the name.
We don't know his name.
Yeah. The vampire who took her there.
Right. And then Willow doing her best non-consent. Hey, let's go in here. She's like, no, thank you. Yep. No consent. And then he throws her in there.
But then enter, was it Jesse and...
Darla.
Darla, thank you. I want to keep calling her Cordelia. Right. It's Darla.
And she's bit him because she got hungry on the way.
Exactly. I took a snack.
Yeah.
In a
mausoleum, like in like a literal like
I can't.
Mausoleum.
Yeah.
So Buffy comes in. She's punning, which you'll learn is big in this show.
Oh, I've already learned.
She is all about the puns. Like, it is punny.
But again, with her best, like, flips in and throw around. Like
yeah, she's flippant. She's very flippant.
Oh, she's very, yeah.
Confident. She's like, I got this shit.
But she comes in and ends up staking the guy.
Yeah.
Saving,
pretty quickly.
Yeah. But then Luke, big old book.
Yeah.
Big Luke.
And to see this, like, Darla looks visibly shaken. She's like, what the...
Yeah, because no one's had been able to kill one of them in so long.
And she tells the three to run, and she starts fighting Darla.
Mm-hmm.
As she's fighting Darla, this is when we get Luke. Who, remember a couple weeks ago, I was trying to figure out the guy from a show we were watching with Percy.
Yeah.
He was Aries. That's him. That's who I was trying to remember.
No.
Yes, that's the same guy.
Huh, okay.
Remember, I was like, I know this guy from somewhere.
Yeah.
It's him.
Okay.
I believe.
Interesting. But no, so Luke, but we met Luke a couple scenes ago when we find out, when we actually met the big bad. Like, we'd seen him, but Luke pops up in the mausoleum, sees that Buffy's kind of holding her own, and then kind of, I think it dawns on him, it's a Slayer, a little bit.
Probably. Well, yeah, because Darla's like, she's strong, and he's like, okay, great. And he goes, go get, you know, the food for the Master. So we could pause here, really, and kind of explain the Master. Oh, my God. So every season of Buffy, there's usually like a big bad.
Yes,
that's what they call them. They just give them the moniker of the big bad. In season one, it's the Master. In season two, there's kind of two. There's the Judge, and then there's, spoiler alert, Angel. In season three, there's the Mayor. In season four, there's kind of two. There's the Initiative, and there's Adam, and there's kind of Spike a little bit.
So there's three.
In season five, the big bad is Glory, the god. She's a god.
Okay.
A goddess. Season six, the big baddest. This might be the one where I don't really know. Season six was a little all over the place. It might have been Spike.
Are you just trying to flex right now by saying all these?
No. And then season seven, the final season, the big bad was the first evil.
Yeah.
Deemed the first. Who was the season six big bad? It might have been Spike.
Okay.
But the Master. So we're learning that the Master is basically kind of brewing underground, like literally in a soup of blood.
Basically.
And they bring him back, and he is trapped underground. And the only way for him to get out is for them to feed him blood, and then it brings his strength back, and then he can release himself from his underground prison.
With this barrier.
Yes, there's a barrier, and he needs a vessel to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But he's got like this whole group of vampires that are basically working for him.
And this is where we learn the name of the Harvest is what they're planning for.
Right. So they harvest blood to bring him back, or not to bring him back, but to help him escape from his barrier.
To bring his strength back to where it was. So he has the ability to get there.
He's got permanent vampire face, really long nails.
He is Nosferatu.
A very stylish jacket.
Very much Nosferatu.
Yeah. So Luke is kind of, Luke to be probably like his right hand man, like his lieutenant.
I mean, we learn in the second episode that like they've been together for centuries. Like they reference like the last Slayer they fought was in like 1800.
Right. So this is where probably the episode one ends. Like Buff or Willow, Xander, and Jesse kind of run into a big group of vampires out in the cemetery. We don't know what's going to happen. Buffy's getting her ass kicked by Luke.
So Luke throws the mausoleum tomb's lid off, and Buffy gets thrown in. So you end in the first episode of Luke on top of her about to bite her,
and we need it to be continued.
Yeah.
Right. But when we come back into the Harvest, you know, it opens up in that, you know, at that moment.
Yeah.
And she's just ready to, she's like, fuck, I'm beat. And he just disappears.
No. So we find out I don't remember if it was the same alleyway scene where she met Angel the first time or if he met her a second time. He gave her a silver crucifix.
Right.
And that's where Luke tried to bite her and he hit the crucifix and it was like, ah, and he ran away.
Angel's like, hi, nice to meet you. Here's a huge chunky cross necklace.
Yeah, exactly.
And she wears it. She's like, strangers, sure. Actually, if it was free jewelry, I'd be like, sure, I'll wear this here too.
Luke runs away. Buffy gets out.
Goes to save Willow, Xander, and Jesse.
Mm-hmm. From Darla and gang.
Yes, Darla and gang. That's a good way to put it. And they still somehow get Jesse.
Yes.
Jesse gets kidnapped.
Well, because so Buffy finds Willow, sees them attacking Xander, and then helps Xander, and then afterwards she's like, "Where's Jesse?" And that's where they're like, "Oh, the girl grabbed him again."
Darla grabbed him.
Yeah, but they don't know the name's Darla, but they're like, the girl will grab. Yeah,
right. But this episode, is going to go pretty fast because there's really not much really in this episode. There's a lot of like researching, and there's a lot of like where Buffy and Giles bring Willow and Xander in and say, okay, look, we're going to level out with you.
Yeah.
This is what's going on. There are vampires. They are real. Here's what's happening. Because Buffy staked people in front of them. They could see all the faces. They could see everything that was going on. So she really clues them into everything and lets them know exactly what's going on.
Well, because even Willow's like, I'm going to faint. I need to breathe.
Right. So this is where they're in the library, which you will learn. This is where they do a lot of their, hey, there's something happening, and happening in the thing or in the episode. Let's figure it out. They do a lot of the research because Giles also brought a lot of his demonic or demon books and tomes.
Well,
they're all in that library.
So, and again, this shows how 90s the series is. They're talking about, and they find out, you know, where would they take this person? I forget who mentions, but like sewers are a big thing because you can get all around the city.
Right,
light. Sunlight, because sunlight's a way to kill the vampires. Mm-hmm. I forget who mentions it, but there's an electric tunnel throughout the city, which is kind of like where they're all at. And they're trying to figure out where accesses are that were close to the mausoleum.
Right.
And Giles is like, well, we could go down to the city planning office and blah, blah, blah. And Willow goes, or we can just use the internet. What is this ghastly thing?
And I'm He's so British.
Oh my God.
And then this is where we find out Willow's a hacker.
Sort of.
And Willow hacks into the city to get the plan for like all the underground bullshit.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, you can just, is it just free? Anybody can go look at this? And I'm like, nowadays, yeah. I'm pretty sure anybody can go pull that now.
Yeah, so we see that's where Willow is helping.
Yeah.
And then when they kind of start to find out where, like, Buffy starts thinking, oh, wait, Luke kind of came out of nowhere. There's got to be a second access in the mausoleum. I'm going to go back there. And Xander's like, should you go alone? And she's like, get the fuck over it. I'm a woman. I can do whatever I want with my body, my choice.
Yeah. Well, because Xander, to me, I feel like he's trying to prove his manliness a lot in these series.
A lot of this series with Xander is him trying to prove his worth. Because if you think about it, Giles is the Watcher.
Yeah.
Which is what they call, you know, the person who
watches.
Who is like the Slayer's coach?
The Slayer slays, the Watcher watches.
Yeah, and then Buffy's obviously the power.
Yeah,
Willow is the smart one. She can hack into things. She knows she's that.
She's the new age Watcher.
And then there's Xander. Who? What does he really bring? So that's a
penis.
That's a theme throughout the whole series. It's like he's always trying to figure out where he fits in that group.
Okay.
but regardless of that. Yeah. Buffy decides to skip school, and
Principal
Flutie catches her in the act.
It's true,
and then she jumps over the school fence. There's a school fence.
Okay, so in this world, I was trying to figure, like, they physically put a latch lock on a school fence to lock in teenagers,
but the front of the school is facing the street.
Well, and my question to you is that legal? Because that's very like jail like.
Yeah, but you can go out the front door of the school, and the street's right there.
Yeah, so there's no back exit.
So maybe that is the back exit.
Yeah.
But yeah, she jumps over the fence and skips school anyway.
Yes. Back to the mausoleum.
Yeah, she goes back to the mausoleum. She figures it out. She goes down into the tunnels. But while we're doing that, we also learn, you know, they present Jesse to the master.
Mm-hmm.
And the master's like, and Darla's like, I'm so excited. Look, he's pure, which to me means he's a virgin. And he's like, oh, you've tasted this one. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, great, you're bringing me scraps. Like, honestly, the master gives too. Like, the master to me is full on gay, in my opinion. I mean, listen, he's like, your faithful dog. You bring me scraps. Like, and I know you didn't say it like that, but my brain was like,
you heard it.
You bring me scraps.
But that's literally how you heard it.
Mama, you bring me scraps. Like, I am the master.
But they find out that, again, that there's a Slayer. This is where it really dawns that there's a Slayer, and they use Jesse as bait.
Jinx.
Yeah, I know.
I do love the master, though. The master is comic. Like, you bring me scraps.
Fair enough.
And you guys got to watch it go, he didn't say it like that at all.
It's like, you brought me scraps.
Yeah, he's like, no, he did kind of, he's like.
He had some flair.
He had the hands. He goes, I'm your faithful dog. You bring me scraps. So, yeah.
But, yes. So, find out that now when... So, Jesse's bait. You find that out. Buffy's back at the mausoleum.
But
intro Angel. Her. No. Enter Angel again.
Yeah. He's in there waiting.
Because she's like, well, come with me. And he's like, they don't like me. And I'm like, but does she assume he's a vampire at this point?
I think she's just, like, cute boy to me. Because he is, like, he's just trying to give her...
Why would they not like him?
I don't know. Maybe because he's been fighting the forces of evil forever.
I don't know, maybe.
But he's like, you know, there's the master, whatever. He's like, you're on a hellmouth. He basically tells her all the stuff that Giles kind of told her. And he's like, you got to be serious about this kind of bullshit. Like, you just, like, take it easy. And, you know, she's like, okay, cool, I got it, bye. And then he, like, whispers good luck. I was like, really?
Mm. Well, but you know, she goes like, you could wish me good luck. And he's like, just stares her down, kind of like that brooding.
Yeah, because he is brooding.
And then he gives her the good luck.
And then, yeah. So then as she gets down there, Xander follows her. And he pops up and he's like, well, Willow's down there doing her thing. I can at least help you or figure out something.
Well, and he gives a valid reason. He goes, Jesse's my guy. Like, like, look, I have to do what I can to help him.
Right.
So I was like, okay, pulling the friendship card. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, if like the situations were reversed and you were caught in Uber bait and I was in a situation, I would do what Xander did. I would be like, look, that's my best friend down there. I've got to like,
I'm
not just going to sit back and watch. I have to do something.
100%.
This is where you say,
I just said, I agree 100%. Like I would do the same thing.
I need you to say it in words.
I would go to the ends of the world to find you. And I mean, make
I didn't
sure
say all
you're
that.
Safe.
I didn't say all that. I said in this situation, I would go with Buffy to try and find you.
I have a certain set of skills.
Shut up.
I will find you.
So and I will kill you. They're traipsing through the thing and they happen upon Jesse. And Jesse like pops up like, rah. And he's like, oh God, I was trying to fake dead.
So, okay. But fake dead while attached to a chain anklet.
What?
He was hooked to the ground.
Oh.
Buffy had to break the anklet off of him. Oh. I'm like, you're acting dead as if like you fainted to lure the vampires in to whack them with a stick.
Maybe to leave them alone. I don't know. Look, he didn't think this through like at all.
I was like, okay,
but
you're still trapped.
But the thought is he is the bait. So they immediately like set him free and say, okay, let's go. Like, let's go. Let's get out of here. And they get ready to start getting chased, and this is where we find out that they have made Jesse a vampire.
Yes, he leads them all these different ways that are blocked by other vampires, and he's like, oh wait, no, there's another way this way, and he leads them to this closed-off room where there's only one way in, I think, and he has them alone in there, and that's when he is...
Yeah, you see the face change, we know he's a vampire now.
Gargoyle.
And Buffy literally throws them out, she locks the room... She pulls the grate out of the. This is where you kind of start to see her strength. And what's so funny is like she doesn't just pull it out. Like you could like she's like I did. There's some weird things where there's not much detail in this show. Yeah. But this like it was a grate up against the wall or up in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you could see her like can't she just pull this down? Yeah. But she's like literally trying to like you would with anything that's flush. You try and pry it out with your fingers first.
Yeah.
And then you can pull it out. I was like that's actually a really cool detail that they did it like that. But like there's other details where you're like. Like, again, the money at the bronze that was missed. But, yeah, they get through the...
Well, the other thing is, like, there's all these slats. Like, instead of prying at the edge, she could have just put her hands through and just yanked down.
Maybe. But, you know, you don't know that yet. But she... So they pull through. They get through up through the sewer. I mean, as they're doing this, the vampires...
No, it's the electric tunnels. Because they come out at the...
It's like a duct.
Exactly. Right.
But as they're doing this, like, the vampires are literally pulling the door, the outside door down. Like, they are ripping it apart.
Yes. This ironclad door.
Yeah. So we get an idea of how strong vampires are as well. I mean, Buffy's strong, but they're, like...
Stronger.
That line that Luke said, you're strong. You're strong.
I am stronger.
Great writing. There is great writing, but that was not the best. So they get through the sewers, or through the electrical duct, they get up to a sewer grate and they are able to get out into the sunlight where the vampires cannot follow.
Exactly.
So at this point they know Jesse's a vampire. They get back to the library and they tell them that.
Yes. And at this point we've seen another scene where Willow's kind of done some research and so is Giles and they know what the harvest is at this point.
Right. So the harvest is basically like the master's going to create a vessel.
Yes.
And that vessel who's roaming free.
Uh-huh.
Is going to drink blood from people, and that blood is going to feed the master so that he can free himself.
Exactly.
Luke is the vessel.
And he'll be marked by a somewhat looks like a shuriken triangle. Like a little throwing knife.
He's got a mark on his forehead that the master bestowed upon him in a very gay fashion. Because I think the other thing about the master makes him kind of gay is because he's got long nails, so he's doing everything... With like the like you know very dainty light because he can't do because he's got long nails so I think that's also why he gives fag, but I love it. why he gives gay?
Fair enough.
So they're like, what's the so obviously the vampires have figured out. Hey, the best place for us to get like you know blood and a bunch of people is to go to the bronze,
which Xander like everybody's trying to guess where to go, and Xander's like bronze.
Yes,
there's no question. It's the bronze.
It's the bronze. Like you got your 15 year olds, your 16 year olds. You've got your college kids.
Your 37 year olds.
Like you've got your 27 year olds cosplaying a 16 year old. Like you got
your 45 year old divorcees.
Like you've got a ton of people here. You got a ton of choices. So we see them going. We see the vampires literally walking up to the front door.
Yes. And then we see them abduct the doorman.
Yes. And lock everybody in and say, hey, everybody, calm down. Here's the deal. We're going to kill all of you. So,
well, the funny part to me is that at this point, they cut the power to the entire building. But somehow one light happens to just illuminate Luke on stage.
He's the vessel.
I just don't get it.
But yes, so... Obviously, Buffy and Willow and Xander and Giles.
Yeah.
Jesse's out of the picture, you guys. Like, Jesse's
there at the whatever. He right, got there
he's
early.
He's there, but he's a vampire.
He's stalking Cordelia.
Right, still.
He's marking his territory.
And, you know, they get to the bronze just at, like, while they're getting there, obviously, Luke is killing people one by one by one by one.
Yeah, exactly.
And we see it affecting the barrier that the master is in. And then he pulls Cordelia up on stage.
Yep.
And she's flipping out just as anybody would. This is when Buffy, like, actually shows up.
Buffy couldn't get in the front door. She tells the other three to go to the back door. Mm-hmm. I'll find my own way in. And then you just hear her crash through a window on the top layer.
Yeah. Like, she just basically, like, breaks in through the roof somehow.
There's a random vampire up there who she throws off the catwalk.
Right. And he bursts into ash. Oh, true. Dust. So when you stake them, they burst in the dust.
Exactly. But then she does her little one-liner of, like, hey, didn't invite me to the party? How, like just some stupid
puns.
I was like, what?
They throw in the puns.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so obviously, like, this happens and, like, wackiness ensues. Like she starts fighting the vampires and stuff like that. There's some very creative ways of killing a vampire, like
symbols.
The symbol that cut the guy's head off, like a
frisbee.
Exactly. And then she's, you know, fighting Luke. Obviously. What?
He's not the smartest guy.
No, he's not.
He's all muscle.
He is all muscle. So she's definitely fighting him. While Willow, Xander, and Giles are trying to get people out.
Exactly.
They're like, hey, you guys got to go. You guys got to get out. Whatever, what have you. And then Buffy's like, what did she say? Have you heard of daylight saving? That's not what she said.
She's like, oh, you forgot about something. Sunrise. And then she threw the mic stand or cymbal stand through the window. And there was a light out the window.
Yeah, like a street light.
And then Luke turns around and goes, ah! Wait, I'm not melting. Like the Wicked Witch of the West over here.
Yeah.
And she goes, is in 9 hours. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
And then she kills him. This, I mean, and where's Darla during all this? Darla actually, Willow throws holy water in her face and she like screams and takes off.
She runs smoking.
Her face was smoking. She like runs the fuck off. So yeah. So then Buffy slays Luke.
Yeah.
And the master is like, no, cause he's stuck down in the other thing. Oh, remember when, that one vampire did what that one vampire did, and he was like, I'm sorry, master. And he goes, and he's like, it's fine. And he takes his finger.
You have something in your eye.
And he says, you have something in your eye, and he pokes him in the eye and kills him. Vampire's, like, the master's gay. Like he is giving gay energy this whole episode.
If that had been nowadays, he would have pulled back out and, like, licked it.
He said, oh, and you don't see it. You're on the master's face, and you hear, like, the squish, and he goes, you've got something in your eye. How is that the campiest bullshit you've ever fucking heard?
It is. So the only thing else has happened during this fight before they leave for the day after killing Luke. So Xander sees that once Luke releases Cordelia.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse grabs her. And again, Jesse, no means no.
Right.
Very much.
Cordelia might be a bitch, but no means no.
But it was very rapey the way they were like shooting this. Xander comes up and was like, no, you gotta stop. I know there's some of that still in you. And they're just like talking about trying to save him. And Jesse's like, haha, you're not gonna do anything. Well, Xander has a stake. And then some rando,
I love that,
just bumps into Jesse and knocks him into the stake. And they're just like, well, shit. Again, yeah. And he just puffs away.
Yeah, so Jesse's dead.
It's like, what?
I feel like something similar happened because in the movie, Luke's best friend, Luke Perry's best friend, Pike, or Luke Perry's character, Pike, his best friend, David Arquette, he gets turned into a vampire.
Okay.
And I think he actually has to end up killing him.
Mm.
And it may have been an accident, but I don't remember.
That makes more sense.
So then the next day,
yeah,
you know, they're really kind of walking together, you know, the four, Giles, Buffy, Willow, Xander. And they're just like, wow, this is like wild. Is this like, I'm glad we got rid of that. And Giles is basically like, that's not all.
That was just the beginning.
That's not all, folks. This is just the beginning. Like, there's tons of shit out there. We are on a Hellmouth. We are on a Convergence of Mystical Energy.
And they're like, but let's go to math.
Yeah, they were like, well, you know, and they start, and so they're like, well, since we know, they start having conversations, and they're like, oh, what about this? What kind of shoes you wear? Oh my God, I love those shoes. Those are so cute. Oh my God, what kind of jacket? You know what? I really can't stand math. What about, they're like, and yeah, they trail off. And
quintessential
then,
like conversations a teenager would have.
Right. And then Giles is like, the earth is doomed. And this is where it cuts. Now, I said that I was going to have, like, I think I told you, I have to mention, this is not a spoiler, but in the series finale,
okay,
of Buffy, yes, season 7,
yeah, yeah,
they have devised this whole plan to destroy the first evil.
Okay.
And they find out that the headquarters for the first evil are under the school.
Yeah.
Slido High School. So they are all, like, prepared to be that, like, this be the last time they see each other, and they've sent everybody else in their crew to, like, their positions, and it ends with just Giles, Buffy, Willow, and Xander standing there, and they're all, and it's like this real pointed moment because, you know, they don't know if they're going to see each other again.
Yeah.
And then Buffy goes, what do you guys want to do after this? And Willow's like, you know, I think there's like a new ice cream shop over in the city center. And they're like, oh, that's really cool. And it's like, and they just start having this conversation about like, those things never work. Oh, and it's like, God. Ice cream, do you really want? And they start walking away. And Giles goes, the earth is definitely doomed. So it's kind of like a cute callback. That's like really it. Funny. That's really cool. But I had to say that. So with that, what do you think of your, okay, so MJ's going to rate.
My Buffy cherry bean pops.
Yes, yes. I was going to ask, what do you think of like the characters so far?
I think they're well written. I don't think, I don't feel like it's going to take a lot of time to kind of like have them fall into the character. Mm-hmm, I don't know if that's just the good acting that they brought.
I think it's a little of both.
Good. Again, it's the first couple episodes. You're always going to have to learn your character.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Cordelia, you knew who she was.
Oh.
And she sold her, like we've talked about, from the first moment on screen.
Yes.
100%. Like, the only weird part was that she shared her book with Buffy. But yeah, we've discussed why that's plausible.
Mm-hmm.
So the character growth, I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. But like the characters themselves, I think, have a lot to offer. I very much like Allison Hannigan from, like I said,
yes,
American Pie and How I Met Your Mother. So I'm very much willing to give that a chance. Sarah Michelle Gellar, I mean, God, what has she been in? Cruel Intentions.
Well, she was coming off of an Emmy win for All My Children.
Oh, yeah. But I'm about to say, like from what I know her personally, like I've watched Cruel Intentions. I've watched was the Wolfpack spinoff?
Wolfpack.
That was
It was called Wolfpack. Yeah.
Like all these things I've seen her in, then I'm like, okay, obviously Sarah Michelle Gellar can do not no wrong, but is good at what she does.
And she's an Emmy winner.
Yep. Giles is great as Rupert. It is Rupert.
I can't wait for you to get to the datification of Giles. Like there is a point where Giles goes from being like the nerdy, like whatever, to being full on daddy. And it is season 3. Like God. At a certain point in season 3, I'm like, is Giles hot? is Giles hot?
Wow.
Like, and it happens, like, through, like, he has to go through tragedy in season 2. Lots of tragedy, actually. Mm. And then season 3, he pops up and he is daddy.
Well, so like I said, but like about what I know him from Ted Lasso and what he brought there, like, the quality of actor is here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The plot is clever. I mean, again, it's the flip it on its head, vampire, damsel in distress kind of, but the damsel is the one chasing them this time. I get the irony of it all.
Which, there is an episode in season 2, the Halloween episode, where Buffy dresses up as like an 1800s like lady or whatever, and they get turned into their costumes, and she actually is a damsel in distress.
Oh, funny.
Like, she doesn't have any of her powers. She's like, oh, but sir, what do I do? You know, like,
and that's clever.
And Willow's dressed as a ghost, so she's like invisible, and like Xander is dressed as an army, as a military guy, and so he's like shouting out orders and like being like go go go, like he's so that's kind of like, you know, they're always playing with stuff like that throughout this show. So sorry, go ahead, continue.
I'm not trying to like yawn here. So yeah, like the quality of actors there, the plot and the story wasn't the best in the first couple episodes, but you work with what you have to, because her main thing is she fights vampires, so let's make the vampires a big bad. I get it.
Well, let's say the vampires are there, obviously, but let's enter with the vampires and say, hey, we've established our big villain.
Exactly. So that's where, based off of what we're talking about from Giles, I'm assuming the rest of the season is going to include other things, kind of like a supernatural, like Dean, the Winchester brothers, like witches and ghosts and blah, blah.
There's a monster of the week.
Yeah. Which we've talked about Supernatural is one of the ones that we both have liked so much and we both have watched and liked. So I'm assuming this will carry over, that I'm going to enjoy what is here.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. So if you had to rate episode one, Welcome to the Hellmouth.
Okay.
Out of 10.
I was going to say, what's our scale?
Out of 10. Okay. How would you rate it? Or should we do letter grades?
No, I want to do out of 10. Letter grades is hard.
Really? Because you got the B plus and the B minus and the B's.
I mean,
and
fine.
Okay. Do both. Okay, out of 10, what would you say?
For the first opening episode, I would give it 7.5.
Oh, 7.5?
Yeah.
So to me, that's like a...
like a C.
A 7.5 is a C to you?
75 out of 100 is a C where I was in high school. 90 to 95 is an A plus, or 95 to 100 is an A plus, 90 to 95 was an A. Okay. Yeah, so it's a C.
Okay.
So yeah, like, it's good.
Because a 7.5 is good to me, but C always rings wrong, bad to me, but... but
that's why not I said bad, that's why mediocre. I said
mediocre.
That's why I said the letter one's hard, because I would give it a B, which is like an 80, but in a 1 to 10, I'd get like a 7.5.
I thought you were gonna say B minus C plus.
Well, yeah, but so yeah, we'd be in the C plus B minus range.
Yeah, okay.
But that's what I would give that for the first one.
And then the second episode.
I feel like the second episode is gonna be more the groove for the rest of the season, where it's like big bad research, beat big bad. Big bad.
Well,
like,
not big bad, just monster of the week.
But yes, like, yeah. Enemy of the week, research.
This is the formula.
Yes. I would give it probably a 7.
Okay. So like for that, be like a C.
Yeah.
Cool.
Overall, like an average of a C.
Cool. Yay. I'll agree.
Yeah.
I'll agree.
I'll say it's intro. You really haven't gotten into the flow of it. You haven't really seen the characters, what they're going to bring. It's a good starting point.
I think the next two episodes are really going to give you...
I looked at the names. It's The Witch...
it's The Witch, yes.
And I forgot the second name.
Yeah, we tried this game, remember, and I couldn't name them all?
Yes, but I looked at them like this morning. It was The Witch and something.
It's The Witch and I believe it's The Pack.
Let me see. I'm not going to play the game of like, let me predict what the episodes are about. I'm not going to do that game.
You're not?
I mean, I can. Teacher's Pet.
Oh, Teacher's Pet. This is one of the ones I don't remember very well. So here's what I think. So my thought to you is my thought is that you're gonna like The Witch more than Teacher's Pet.
Okay.
And yeah, that's what I'll say. I think you're gonna like The Witch. You're gonna like Witch more than Teacher's Pet.
So episode three more than four. Okay, fair enough.
I think so. I think when you watch them, you'll.
We should keep a tally of what I've rated these real quick, just to like reference. Oh yeah,
can you write those?
Yeah, I'll write them real quick. So I got you.
So yeah, so you guys, that was our first. Episodes 1 and 2. So in 2 weeks we will do episodes 3 and 4, which are season 1 episode 3 Witch and season 1 episode 4 Teacher's Pet. And then this coming up Monday we will have a new episode where we are reviewing Masters of the Air.
Yes.
Apple TV Plus original.
It is.
Awesome. All right. Well, this was fun. I love this. I already love this.
You can tell by the enjoyment in your voice, like just talking about Buffy, you're just like, oh my God.
But I'm excited to do this for our second one too, actually. Like I'm excited. This is kind of like where it's difficult for us to like review new TV shows because we really don't want to spoil like the big points of it. So this one is, it's great just to just open be able talking. To just like, yes, exactly. I love it. All right, you guys. Well, we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to Watch or Not with Jay and MJ.
Interact and give us suggestions on what to watch at watchornotpodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at watchornot_pod.
And don't forget about Instagram, you guys, at watchornotpod.
Don't forget you can support the pod by joining our Patreon at Watch or Not with Jay and MJ.
And subscribe and leave a review wherever you guys listen to podcasts. Talk to you soon.